Welcome back to the Rockman Power Hour, a podcast where we talk to the most interesting people in the world of pop culture, television, movies, music, and everything in between. I am joined by my co-host, Ryan Stick. Ryan, dude, you have had, at the time of us actually recording this, you were about to go under the knife.
Yes. And it's... they said too handsome isn't a thing, but apparently it is. And actions and legal actions have been taken to prevent. I'm saying a bunch of bullshit. Yes, I'm going under in a few days.
Are you okay? How about this?
I'm getting a tail put on. I think an extra toe will help me swim faster.
All right, so you're having an operation. We don't have to disclose what it's for.
No.
Let's just send some good vibes to your future self, because when you're going to be watching this, you'll have already come out from under the knife, and you'll be I don't know, 5 pounds lighter.
I think so. I kind of wanted to do the Joker thing,
yeah,
in the spirit of Michael Keaton at the Oscars, and just go mirror, even though it's got nothing to do with my face whatsoever.
But listen, I you're going to be fine. But we decided, because we had to keep things moving, that we were going to record regardless, even though you've got this thing coming up. But it's good, because it's going to get your mind off of it for half an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And if for some reason I die, we'll know that this is last recording.
All right, that's not going to happen. We want to thank our friends over at Heartbeat Hot Sauce, the heartbeat of the Rockman Power Hour. They're the reason why we're able to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And they've got this new hot sauce, Ryan. I got a bottle for you here. I'm going to bring it to you the next time I see you. I've also got this, that I'm going to bring you.
Oh yeah. It's part of my I need to live for list.
Yeah. So this is coming your way, which you know from McFarlane Toys. And how great was that episode with Todd McFarlane?
Stunning, to be honest. We haven't even, we're about a minute away from actually putting it out. So I'm past self is curious about the reaction to it.
Sure, the reaction would be great.
But I know in my heart that it's a great conversation that if I stumbled upon on the internet by accident, it would be a very good day. So, you know, if that gives any kind of indication that I think we put on a good show, and I think it was an amazing guest.
I'm going to tell you first of all, let's just talk about Heartbeat Hot Sauce. The heartbeat of the Rockman Power Hour. Use our promo code right there, Rockman20, and that'll get you 20% off your entire order. And I want to talk about this new sauce that's just come out, Ryan, that is incredible. And we're trying to get this guy on the podcast. His name is Laurent Dagenet. He is a very, very famous internet chef right now on Instagram and all over, from Montreal. And he has done a collaboration with these guys at Heartbeat, our friends. And it's called Salsa Verde. Ryan, when I tell you that this sauce is unbelievable, it is unbelievable. Okay, check it out. It is made, listen to the ingredients, distilled vinegar, serrano pepper, jalapeno, poblano pepper, pineapple, tomatillo, onion, lime juice, garlic, scallion, honey, olive oil, avocado oil, parsley, sea salt, cilantro, and oregano. Ryan, this thing is so good.
That's a lot of ingredients.
Dude, it's so good. And the chef is awesome. Laurent Dagenet is really, really cool. He kind of got his start on Instagram. He would do these things where he would light up a joint and he'd be like, let's make tacos. And then he'd go. I don't know if you see him. He does these quick chop videos and everything. And they're great. And the recipes look fantastic. So the guys over at Heartbeat partnered with him. This is the new one. It's called Salsa Verde. It's really, really good. I'll bring this alongside your Batman the next time I see you. Okay.
Nice. It'll be a care package.
Yes. And, also thanks to our friends over at Studio House Designs. That is a rad long sleeve, the Suspiria one. I love that.
And I don't have a cool set like you do at the moment. So my decoration is my Studio House gear.
Yeah.
And I think it actually occupies a lot of screen time with some amazing stuff.
Looks beautiful. I love it. And this is the Saltburn shirt, which I don't know if you've seen Saltburn, but what a great movie. Did you like it?
Yes, I do. Like it was so good. It made me want to hump the ground.
Oh, God. I really, really like that movie. Okay.
Yeah, me too. I love the actor. I love that actor, though, actually. He's been in some really great stuff. He played the mysterious Joker type character in the Batman movie.
Yeah.
And he's in Immortals and stuff. And he's in a lot of stuff, actually, but he's always good.
Yeah. Barry, I forget his, I can't pronounce his last name well. I'm going to try, but it's Barry with a K. Barry. His name's Barry. Anyways.
His name's Barry. Yes.
Great movie. Okay. So, but there was something I wanted to say to you. And I said before I go too far, let's talk about Heartbeat Hot Sauce. Do you remember what it was?
No.
No? Right. Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. Another thing we got to talk about. How great is this podcast sounding because of our friends at Audio Technica Canada? Thank you again to Mike Marino and the whole team at Audio Technica Canada for sorting us out with these great headphones, these great mics. Ryan, you know, someone came in my house the other day and they saw my setup and they're like, wow, this is pro.
Yeah.
And
that's what they say when I'm walking on the street late at night. Just like, dude, that guy looks like a pro.
He looks like a pro.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Listen. Yeah.
No, but no, these microphones are amazing. I love the arm. Every time I'm working all week, this isn't a set to me. This is a functional desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The fact I can just kind of put the mic right over there. And then when we have to record today, I put my back out doing nothing because I'm an old man now and that's what happens. And I just pulled the mic into set and it took about 2 minutes to get ready versus the half an hour it used to.
Yeah.
And that felt really good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So thank you to our friends at Audio Technica for this awesome stuff. Now, this is what I wanted to tell you about the podcast. There's a comedian that I really, really like named Neil Hamburger. Yeah. And we were chatting before. He's coming to Montreal on April 16th. So I think this episode will be just before he's in Montreal. So if you get a chance to go see him, he's playing at Bar La Ritz. Reason why I'm bringing him up, I tried to get him on the podcast because I'm a big, big fan. He's a comedian that has a character. He plays, his character is Neil Hamburger.
Yeah.
So I don't think he likes doing long form interviews.
No, not in character. It gives away the mystique.
Right. So he refused the podcast. But he said, please let Jason know that I have heard this podcast before and I quite enjoyed it. I listened to the episode with Billy Gould and Matt Wallace. And I was like, that shows you never know who's listening to what. And it was a really, really nice feeling. So I wanted to tell you that this, you know, sometimes we'll do an episode and you're like, you don't know who's out there listening to things.
Nope. And it's another reason why we shouldn't say weird stuff.
Well, that's definitely not gonna
happen on this show. We have impulse control problems. We just say how we feel and we feel a lot.
All right. Speaking of feeling a lot, let's get to our guest because our guest this week is the lead singer of the band Comeback Kid. Now, Comeback Kid are a hardcore band out of Canada that I've been following for a long, long time. Originated in Winnipeg, Manitoba. They're currently living in Toronto. Consists of vocalist Andrew Neufeld, guitarist Jeremy Hibbert, and Stu Ross, bassist Chase Brenneman, and drummer Lauren Legare. And we got a chance to chat with Andrew, their vocalist. Andrew's a super rad dude. We caught him literally. He had just gotten off tour and was just about to pack. He was home for like 2 days and was just about to pack to head right back out across Canada. So they're currently touring Canada. Really rad, rad hardcore band that know how to write songs and hooks. And I love this band. So the fact that we got to chat with Andrew was really, really cool. And I think people are going to enjoy this conversation. If you are someone who follows Canadian music, Canadian rock and hardcore in general, you're definitely going to know this band. And I think you're going to really, really enjoy this conversation. So check it out. Our chat with Andrew Neufeld of the band Comeback Kid. All right. We're joined by Andrew from the band Comeback Kid. You're joining us live at a very private place in Toronto.
At a very private place, you know. I mean, I got a roommate, so that's the joys of living with roommates. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It looks like it's pretty. Looks like it's pretty nice there, though. It's not too cold.
Yeah, my brother's watching TV. I don't want to disturb him. You know.
We got a lot of
things to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. thanks for taking the time to chat. I've always liked this band. You know, being a guy who grew up on New York hardcore, I just like when something's direct, when it's honest, when it has a hook. And everything I've heard so far from this Trouble EP just lends itself to what you guys do, which is just kick you in the teeth, but leave you with a hook. It seems like you guys are continuing on that trend. But when I hear, you know, when I hear Trouble in the Winner's Circle, it's like you took it to another level, man, because that hook, Like you hear that song and it just stays in your head, and it's been in my head since December.
Yeah, it is. It is a little. It's a pop song. You know
it is, dude. And it's good. It's nice to hear. Like I love hooks. Okay, like I'm a hook guy. I'm a song guy. But I don't think, you know, just because you're in an extreme music band, you can't have hooks.
Well, just truth be told, when we wrote that song, the working title of it was called Alt Rock. You know,
I love so it.
It's probably the most like kind of alt rock type song we've ever really done, but we leaned into it. We're not afraid to kind of do that. And that's kind of why it ended up on the EP, you know, like we didn't really want to put some songs that are like totally different and like kind of like different format to the regular Comeback Kid songs on the full length. We just didn't really feel like it would fit on the last record. So we kind of carved out a new space for it, which is this EP pretty much.
And was there any switch in thinking when you guys did that? I mean, was there part of you that's like, hey man, I really like when we have something that's kind of like almost anthemic?
Totally. I mean, Comeback Kid, in my eyes, is that's kind of debate. A lot of our songs are anthemic.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, like you know, having like a more poppy, like a pop song, a rock, like an alternative rock song. It's a hardcore song still, you know, we do it
for
in
sure.
Our ways.
110%.
That sounds like Comeback Kid, but as far as we'd go on that scale, I feel like that is kind of, we just wanted to have like a new space for it. You know, this EP that we're putting out on Friday has like that song, has, you know, another song that's kind of like a 90s punk song, and has another song that's even like a Oi influence type song. And again, it's just like songs. I wouldn't say this is like the future of Comeback Kid, and like this is not who we are trying to be next. You know, this is not like a blueprint for where we're going, but it's definitely just, you know, take the, you know, if you listen to our band, or if you're interested in it, like you're kind of taking this journey with us. It's kind of some of the songs that we want to kind of spread our wings on a little bit and see through, not necessarily make it like the next chapter of our band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think sometimes like with every band, there is a point in a band's career, especially that, you know, you guys have had quite a few releases and it seems like from what everything, you know, for the way everything's pointing, it seems like you guys will have several more, because it doesn't seem like there's any, you know, this band seems like it's a pretty solid band. It looks like it's not going anywhere. There is always a point, turning point in a band's career, and a lot of bands, where they do find that sweet spot and something does change in the band. And I, you know, one of the bands I think of when I think of hooks in extreme music is Sepultura. Like, you know, they kind of found that on Chaos AD, but then in Roots, they just found something that just worked. Then, you know, Max took that into Soulfly and stuff. So I don't think because something's extreme and it has a hook is a negative thing. I just think sometimes it's just another natural progression. So I was really excited when I heard Trouble in the Winner's Circle, because to me, it was just like, I love that. I love that, because it's something that could maybe bring somebody in that might not necessarily come in on an earlier release and go like, man, I like this band, let me dig a little deeper.
Totally. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a departure for us, but it was a fun song to do, and you know, some tongue-in-cheek lyrics.
Yeah.
I actually ripped the hook off of this podcast I used to listen to. It's like a segment from a podcast of Neil Brennan.
Okay.
Who Neil Brennan's like Chappelle Show co-writer. He did like, you know, Half-Baked with Chappelle and shit.
Yeah.
But he had that segment. It was like Trouble in the Winner's Circle. So I like straight up like stole it from that.
Oh no, man! I hope they don't come. I hope they don't come.
No, I told them my friend does the podcast with them, or used to do the podcast with them, and I told her all about it. So, you know, if they want to sue us, they could have done it by now. So,
so you guys are you're releasing the EP this Friday. You're heading out on the road March 20th for a pretty extensive run of Canada. Mm-hmm. What goes through your mind when you're about to embark on another cycle? Because I mean, you know, this is, you got a release coming, you've got tour dates coming. Obviously, you know, from what I'm seeing, there's more stuff coming in Europe in the spring. Is there a nervousness, or is it more like a nervous energy? Like, I can't wait to get out there and get on the road.
Let me put this in perspective for you, my friend.
Sure.
I have not even unpacked my bag from getting back from our South America tour right now. I just got back like 2 or 3 days ago.
That's what I was going to say. So it's just like, keep going.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of this. I'm not unpacking, really, to be honest with you. I got to do my laundry from that. I got to do my laundry from the clothes that I had down in Brazil and Costa Rica and shit. So yeah. Let's keep the car running, dude. You know, this record is, it's not like, again, it's not the beginning of a new cycle or anything like that. I still feel like we're kind of like,
you're still kind
of,
yeah,
we're rolling off the cycle of our last record, Heavy Steps,
right.
Came out maybe a year and a half ago. And it's just kind of where we are full fledged in the mix of doing the band.
And that's what you're seeing with a lot of bands, like, especially nowadays, like, let's face it, when a band, you know, wants to make a living and wants to continue doing what they do, they've got to continue doing it. And that's the reality of it. Like, touring bands more than ever need to stay out there on the road as much as they can. So you're seeing a lot of bands taking that EP approach just to kind of bridge the gap. And it's nothing that's new. I mean, bands have been doing it for years, but in between long form records, having that EP, having something to just keep the momentum, maybe giving fans something fresh, does give you an excuse to get out there and stay out on the road and maybe go back to an existing market that you might have done maybe 6 months ago.
Totally. I mean, we don't get to tour Canada very often, so I'm super excited to be able, we haven't done a lot of these dates since like right when COVID started.
Yeah.
Besides like Toronto or something like that. We supported Stick to Your Guns a few months ago, but yeah, so it's an awesome opportunity to cross Canada again. You know, this is the second year of touring off the Heavy Steps cycle.
Yeah.
And I consider it, you know, a lot of times we'll do like, you know, we've put out a few records, so we kind of have a kind of a theme. So we'll do like, you know, North America and Europe a lot for the first year.
Yeah.
And then start kind of going off to different territories or different countries and continents on the latter, the end of the cycle. For example, we just did South America. Right. We're gonna do Canada, but we're gonna do like Japan this year, and we're gonna do like, you know, just a few different, like, off the button, kind of maybe not things that are a little more unusual, but we usually tend to hit some of those far off continents like at the end of a record cycle.
Yeah, for sure. You grew up where?
Winnipeg. I'm in Toronto now, but I grew up in Winnipeg until I was, until I could move.
So if I was going to tell, like, talk to like the 14 or 15 year old Andrew from the Peg and tell him that he was going to be touring South America and Japan with his band, would he be freaking out? Or did he, or is that what he always wanted to do?
The first time I went to South America, I was probably like 19, 20. dude. Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to travel.
Right.
Kind of it's a lot easier to travel. It's a lot easier to travel now when we have smartphones, the internet and shit. Like, dude, I was like doing the shit on like no cell phones and like trying to like look up places on maps and asking people on the street how to get to places.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, how would you know anything without any of that shit, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny because I spent a lot of my years, you know, I'm a little older now, but when I was younger, I spent a lot of my years in a band touring, and just the change from, let's say, 90s touring to 2000 touring to now touring, it's a completely different beast. I mean, there was MapQuest, like, you know, there's no MapQuest when I started, there was almanacs, and it was just like, you had to ask people, and every town you went into, you're like, how much further is like Moose Jaw? And they'd be like, oh, it's down the road, this, you know, 45 minutes. It's like none of that. I mean, I just got off the road. My wife and I were out on the road for like 2 weeks. And, you know, everything is Waze now. Like, you just put the phone there and Waze tells you how to get there. You don't even think anymore. And it's just crazy when you see how much things have changed. But a lot of the things are exactly.
I just try to like navigate around Japan without like a phone. Like, I used to do that shit.
I can't imagine.
It's crazy, dude. I remember going, my first time going to Europe too. Like, we'd just show up to a town in Germany or something like that. Like, just ask people where how to get to the place. Yeah. Somehow we'd find our way. It was bizarre.
You know, your shows, I've seen you guys before, your shows are very energetic. Is there a point now that, cause you've been doing it for as long as you've done it, that you have a ritual? Is there certain things that you need to do? Do you take better care of yourself than you might've in the past? Or cause the more I talk to, you know, you'll talk to some singers and they'll be like, man, I don't talk between shows. I really try to take my down day, you know, my days off. It's like quiet days. Is that anything in your realm, or do you just kind of just go?
People have actually approached me recently, like, yeah, you don't do warm-ups or anything like that. I actually don't.
Okay.
I don't do any of that shit. It's kind of crazy. My best like remedy is just to kind of keep the momentum going, like just keep it on playing every day, and as just as long as I'm consistent, I feel like I can kind of keep the car running, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. The EP is coming out on Friday. You guys have had a pretty long standing relationship with Dying Alone. They seem to be pretty good partners. Are you guys I guess would you consider yourself still kind of an indie band in Canada, or would you, how would you look at it?
We are an indie band. We do everything pretty DIY. We handle everything ourselves. Labels are great because we can access resources from them. But yeah, truly, yeah, we're self-managed, and yeah, we do pretty much the whole thing ourselves.
And I think that most bands you talk to nowadays, there's got it. Like we were talking to the Sheepdogs maybe a couple months ago, and you know, Ryan started managing that band on his own. He's like, man, I'm just going to do it. And it's funny when you see these guys that have to wear both hats, like they're managing the band, then they got to get on stage and they've got to play. Is there, and you guys mentioned you're self-managed, is that, would that any be ever be something you'd want to change, where you'd like to be able to just focus on being artists? Or at this point, do you think it's important that you have your hands in everything?
We've had managers before,
yeah.
But it's kind of, you know, we're just always so hands-on anyways. So we're like, I'll be like CC'd on like every email anyways. And sometimes it doesn't make sense if it's like a tour that I've hooked up, or it's like someone else is hooked up, and then you're kind of paying a manager the like 15% or whatever to do something that you organize yourself. You know what I mean? We've had multiple managers, some that have gone on to be really, really big managers and stuff, but it just, we're just always so, we're so hands-on with the thing. So, you know, so it just kind of like just makes more sense just for us to do it ourselves. And also we hire out, like, you know, if there's other types of, there's things that we can like kind of like outsource management wise, you know, like we have, there's a band called Ken Mode.
Yep,
from,
of course.
Also from Canada. And those guys do some like business management type stuff for us.
No, I know. We've talked to Ken Mode a couple of times, and
oh yeah.
Yeah. And they seem to really have,
They're very smart.
Very smart guys.
Yeah. They do like kind of like some accounting for us, and like, immigration and grants, like some of the stuff that I wouldn't maybe know how to do so well. So it's important, I think, if you are self-managed, just to have like, you know, little pockets where you can kind of outsource a few things that, and just kind of have your finger on the pulse of things that maybe you might have not have a handle on yourself. You know what I mean? I'm not a numbers guy or anything like that. Yeah. You know, so it's good to have some help there.
When you're not touring, and I mean, it seems like you're on the road quite a bit. What do you do? Is there anything else that you like to do? Is there anything else that you do like for a vocation?
Yeah, I love my dogs, and just, you know, it's being at home is spending time with friends and just kind of reconnecting. But we're out quite often, I would say, for the other guys too. You know, if it's time at home, it's family for them, the guys with kids. And dude, it's really, really, I come home and I'm just kind of catching up on sleep and getting ready for the next tour.
Right.
You know, at this point.
Is it different for you when you, like, if you don't have, let's say, the connections that the other people have to home, is it easier for you to be out than some? Like, do you see other guys struggle where they're like, you know, maybe saying goodnight to their wives, goodnight to their kids, missing birthdays and stuff? Is it weird to see that from another perspective?
Yeah, I definitely like sympathize with it. But you know, we're trying to keep the car running here.
I know. And that's the delicate balance, you know, it's trying to find, you know, like a life outside of the road when you're not touring, because a lot of people, once they get off, they're like, what do I do? Like, you know, you're every night you're in a place where there's energy, there's, you know, there's drinks flowing, there's all the stuff that's around you. That's like, it's exciting. It's like your endorphins are up. And then when it stops, you get a lot of bands that get home, they're like, what the fuck do I do? You want to see your friends. You've got a Tuesday night off and they're like, man, I'm going to bed at 9. I got work tomorrow. So is that ever a weird thing? No.
Oh, I love going to bed at 9. I don't really struggle with like being bored.
Okay, good.
I'm always trying to catch up with what I'm trying to do. Like I always feel a little bit like a little behind on things. So yeah. I'm constantly trying to catch up, you know.
And in terms of bands that you've played with, who would you say you would probably be like, man, I still can't believe we shared a stage with that band?
Can't believe that we did.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stoked that we're just doing a lot of these like last final No Effect shows. Like that's a band that I kind of grew up on.
That's amazing.
That's a band that I grew up on and one of my first punk bands, and they've invited us to a lot of their not all of them, but like we've actually had to turn down a bunch because we have other festivals and things going on. But they've invited us to play a lot of their final shows last year and this year. We're going to play like Denver and Italy and stuff like with them. And I had to turn down Toronto, which sucks.
We're gonna man. Europe. That's got to suck. It's
I would have been the man in my own city. Fuck, you know, but yeah, no. So that's been kind of cool to be able to do the last NoFX shows. And I recently just did some, gave some guided tours at the Punk Rock Museum. In
oh,
Vegas.
Yeah. How was that?
That was awesome. They have a really, really crazy thing set up there. And I recommend anyone who wants to go to Vegas to go check it out. It's definitely worth it. And there's so many like artifacts and relics there that anyone who's into punk would like be like super stoked to see. So
no, definitely. And we had Fat Mike on the podcast last year, and it was right when they were maybe a year and a half ago. And it was when they were setting it up, and he was mentioning that it was just like, it was just such an undertaking to get that thing going. But he really had vested interest in it.
Totally. Totally. It's amazing. It's quite corporate actually too. Like has a little bit of a corporate vibe to it. But yeah, they have their shit dialed there. Awesome.
Well, that's it. I think there's got to be a certain, you know, when you put on, like if you've ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, you know,
I haven't been there actually.
It's rad, but you feel like it's like almost antiseptic. It's like, this is rock and roll. It should be dirtier. Like, but it has, there has to be some kind of organization, I guess.
I heard they have the CBGB's awning there at the Cleveland one.
They do.
Yeah, I'd like to see that for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'd much rather see that there than those little spots in the airports that they call CBGB's, because that's just. But, and just lastly, you know, EP's coming out on Friday, tour's starting, you know, you seem stoked about it. What's the future? Like, are you guys constantly in writing mode? Like, is this something like you've got more music ready? Because like the last full length was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, we got a couple ideas up our sleeve, but probably next year we'll start writing. Not in a super rush this year to do anything like that. The touring schedule is going to be kind of crazy. Next year is like our 25 year anniversary.
Right.
And the 20 year anniversary of our record, Wake the Dead.
Yep.
So we might be trying to plan some like kind of cool things for that, just to, as like some album plays or something like that. I'm not really sure how we're going to play it out yet. But yeah, next year I could see us recording a record and doing some anniversary stuff and kind of whatever. But yeah, no rush, dude, putting out a record on Friday. So I'm in no rush to put out another record. Dude.
Yeah, no, but it's always nice to know where someone's head's at, you know, just in case.
Totally. But, man, yeah, like there's definitely a lot of ideas and we're feeling very, very optimistic to kind of keep this shit going, because it's still the most exciting thing ever, like in my life. So, you know.
Well, it's a great band. It's a great live show. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in Montreal when you pass through. And awesome. Thanks for taking the time to chat, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
And we are going to hook you up with Heartbeat Hot Sauce. They're the sponsors of the podcast. So
amazing.
I'll reach out to Jake and we'll get you some hot sauce sent out to the best address for you guys.
Love it. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Keep kicking ass.
Take care, brother.
All right. Take care.
Hey, let's talk about Winnipeg for a second. I've only been to Winnipeg twice, and it was with the Ripcords, where my band was called Rockets Away, and my lead singer and guitar player in that band was Alex, the bassist of the Ripcords at the time. So it was kind of like, and then I was doubled as a Ripcords roadie. So really, like, everybody had multiple jobs to fit in the same band. And when we went to Winnipeg the first time, we were playing this place, and there was this, I struck a conversation with a friendly guy, and he was like in an oi band, and we're talking about our love of James Brown.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, well, man, it would be so funny to see like a hardcore band with a guy talking like James Brown in the beginning. And sure enough, he went up there, and then later in the night did we realize that we've known each other for years.
Crazy.
No, literally, this guy Martin, who, the first time I ever went to this place called Sal the Lex, well, not the first time, but around the first time,
okay,
these squeegee punks outside kind of were trying to get in a fight with two friends of mine. And, you know, we were like 15 years old and scared. So we're inside, and he's like, this guy, Martin, says, oh, don't worry about it, I'll take you outside. He has a big dog. So we go out the back of Lex, even escorts us to the Metro. And we end up walking all the way up to Bar Saint Laurent with him. So, Martin is no longer with us, unfortunately. And, you know, There are some stories that make me, you know, go, oh, Martin. But there's those really sweet moments too that I choose to talk about today instead. And it was really cool to rekindle that friendship on that fateful night in Winnipeg many moons ago. So that's what Winnipeg means to me. Oh, and also this dude named Rob, whose house we stayed at, who loved Green Day just as much as I do. And we spent all night talking very excitedly about how Green Day were more poppy before they signed to a major label, as opposed to what bands usually do, you know, in the course of their career. So shout out to Martin, who is no longer with us. Shout out to Rob, who I hope is still with us. Winnipeg, Winnipeg means that to me. It's the two of your faces.
Winnipeg is, Winnipeg's a special place, man. And I think when you're a Canadian band, once you started touring Canada, it's the inevitable stop along the way to Vancouver if you're going east to west. So, it was really, really fun to chat with Andrew, because they're a band that really, really tours a lot and that are a great live band. So thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate you, dude. And Ryan, we've got some great stuff coming up next week on the show. We are going to be joined by a legend in Canadian rock, a legend in rock in general, one of the best guitar players ever. We're going to have none other than Rick Emmett from this band, Triumph.
Oh, yeah.
I brought this up because this is my reissue copy of Allied Forces. Growing up in Montreal and listening to radio and rock radio, this record was so important. And one of my prized possessions that I have, that I own, is I have a record, Ryan, signed by all three members of Triumph.
Nice.
So that to me is one of my favorite things, and it's made out. You know, thanks for your support. Like, it's just like so cool, dude. So I've talked to Mike Levine before. I have never talked to Rick Emmett. So I'm very, very excited to have Rick Emmett on the show next week. So if you are a fan of rock and roll and good conversations and legends and all that stuff, make sure you listen to the podcast. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please make sure you like, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Let us know in the comments who you would like to see on the podcast, who you'd like to hear.
Who you would do important questions, you know?
Who you would do. Yeah, that's an important one. God, I can't imagine what you're going to sound like after your painkillers.
Oh, yeah. No. I want you to play Marry, Fuck, Kill in our comment section. That would just be great.
It's a great idea. No. All right. Thank you. Thank you to my co-host, Ryan Stick. Thank you to our producer, Julie Kajerski. Thank you to our friends over at Heartbeat Hot Sauce. Check out the new Salsa Verde sauce in conjunction with Montreal chef Laurent Dagenet. And thank you to Studio House Designs. Thank you to our friends at Audio Technica Canada for helping this podcast sound as good as it is. And thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to all of you. And we'll see you next time on The Rocking Power.